Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
The Secret Service holds much that is kept secret, even from very senior officers in the organization. Creepy.
Four.
So the topic we're covering is numbers stations, which actually comes to us courtesy of some feedback we received on Facebook, which unfortunately, due to my computer being silly right now, I cannot pull up. However, this is Facebook feedback asking us to cover number stations. And you may wonder, oh, my droogies, what a number stations is. Things being so scurry and people being quick to forget. That's like a double reference right there, since I threw in some Clockwork Orange. So here's what a number station is. It is a radio station using shortwave radio that blasts out a transmission, usually at a very regular interval, that normally has some sort of tone or even music to it, followed by a series of numbers spoken in sort of a semi-monotone voice, sometimes an automated voice. In fact, very often an automated voice. And it's just a seemingly random string of numbers that have no particular context or meaning to them. And it has created quite a hobbyist dream come true, really, for people who like mysteries, because there's no official explanation as to what these stations are and why these numbers are being broadcast.
Here's what we know. No, I'm kidding.
Now let's go to what we can speculate on.
We do know that official governments have there's no official government that has spoken up and said, oh, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, the closest was a Czechoslovakian official who acknowledged receipt of a message about number stations, but did not go so far as to actually say what the number station was, what it was for. It essentially was just that, I got your message. That was pretty much it.
The check is in the mail.
There you go.
But
oh, gosh, I can't believe you were waiting the entire time for me to shut up so you could use that.
however, there are fewer now than there were during the Cold War.
Yeah. And they started
– the height of the Cold
War. They started appearing during the World Wars. So
– World War One, even.
Yeah.
This is the early part of the 20th century, earlier part of the 20th century.
Yeah. First couple of decades of the 20th century, that's when they start popping up. So let's talk a little bit about why a number station is even possible before we get into what they were and what they sound like and all that kind of stuff. So first – they are shortwave radio,
which we have talked about on a previous podcast many years ago.
Yeah, we'll do a quick refresher course.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, a shortwave is a radio wave with a wavelength shorter than 200 meters.
Mm-hmm.
200 meters wavelength would have a frequency of around 1500 kilohertz, and it's typically these radio waves are used to broadcast voice and music, but also for long-distance communication. The reason that you can have long-distance communication is that these wavelengths are at sort of a sweet spot when it comes to the way the Earth works.
Mm-hmm.
So the Earth has the ionosphere.
Right.
You know, that surrounds it, binds it, and penetrates it. Oh, no,
that's
the force. No, ionosphere just surrounds the Earth. And if you were to aim a shortwave radio frequency at the ionosphere would refract that frequency and it would beam back down to Earth. So by bouncing it effectively off the ionosphere, you can send a radio signal much further than you could if it were to just broadcast out and radiate out from a tower.
Yes.
So with this in mind, with this long-distance communication ability, it has opened up opportunities for lots of different applications. And you'll hear about amateur radio enthusiasts who will just – They'll use their radios to dial in and listen to the various broadcasts that go out there. And that's really how number stations were discovered. It was mainly hobbyists who, as they were scanning the different bands and listening to what was out there, they were coming across these very odd sort of transmissions. And before I get too far, I should say the whole refraction by the ionosphere, there's a specific name for that kind of transmission that mm-hmm. I love. I love this term. Skywave propagation.
Nice.
It's a cool term, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got these hobbyists who are listening in, and they would come across a very unusual and, frankly, pretty creepy kind of transmission in some cases. And I think we even have an example that we can listen to. So let's take a quick listen to what a typical number station might sound like if you were to tune in on a shortwave radio.
Three, nine, seven, one, five.
Kind of gets you right here, doesn't it?
If by the by right here you mean now I'm looking over my shoulder and waiting for someone to break into the room, yeah, that's pretty much what I'm thinking.
There is something particularly creepy about hearing kind of an almost like a harmonic. It sounds like there's been some harmonics applied in some cases, like it's an automated voice or whatever. But hearing something like that monotone just delivering number after number, and then the really repetitious music that was used to introduce these. So what could these be? And there have been a lot of people who have suggested what number stations might be all about. Everything from it could just be stuff for people who are surveying areas for cartography and that kind of thing. But
it doesn't seem likely if no one is taking credit for it.
Not at all. So that
that's our cartography channel.
That has led to some not so much conspiracy theories. It really does boil down to, well, if you're just broadcasting numbers with no other context, what could you possibly be doing that for? And one of the explanations is that it's a way to communicate to spies, to undercover operatives who might be invested in some foreign country, perhaps one that is unfriendly to the country of origin. And so there, and when we say there's number stations, there are number stations all over the world.
Yep, and they're broadcast in pretty much all the languages that you might expect they would be in.
Right.
You know, so, the major languages of the world.
So it's not just that, you know, it's not just one country that's doing this. There's multiple countries that are doing it. And so the speculation is that these are messages that are sent to government spies. And these, you know, the governments aren't admitting to it for pretty understandable reasons, I would say.
Well, if you or any of your team is captured, the government will disavow any knowledge of this operation.
Yeah. This message will self-destruct in 15 seconds.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie loving friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun. But then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
So these messages, the numbers, that's a code. It's encoded message. Form of cryptography that is called the one pad note.
Yeah, or one time pad.
Yeah.
I'm interested in cryptography and have been reading about it for many years. And this is not exactly a new thing. It doesn't even require the use of a computer. I mean, we talked about cryptography on many podcasts at different levels. And we even got into quantum cryptography, which is supposedly unbreakable, although I've seen reports recently that it may not necessarily be unbreakable.
Well, one-time pads are technically unbreakable if you follow the right procedure.
Right, because basically – and they were called pads because at one time they were, and probably still are, a pad. So this pad is generated like a pad of paper. You write down your message and encode it on this paper using the tool, and it's a one-time thing. Part of the key is embedded in the message. So that tells the recipient, use page – let's just go for a reference here. Use page 16 of your pad.
Yeah.
And that way, you write down the message in the pad that you can decode it on that page, and that then becomes useless.
Yeah.
You can't use it again.
Yeah, you then destroy that page. So here's how it works. Let's say that I want to send a message to Chris, and I want to use this one-time pad method.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we would each have a pad that would have a string of random letters across each line.
Yeah.
All right? And let's say we group them in groups of five, because that's pretty common.
That's pretty common.
Groups of four or five. So we'll say we have groups of five letters, and these letters are truly random in that we've had some sort of, as close to truly random as we can get. We've had some sort of random number generator that has picked random letters, and it's just that we each have a copy of that output. So Chris's string of random letters is the same as my string of random letters. And then I write down my message in normal text, and I write my normal letters above the letters of the that's in the key. Then I convert my letters into numbers. So let's say that an A equals 0, and a B equals 1, and a C equals 3.
It's not going to take them very long to pick this one apart.
No, it's going to take them a long time because that's just a simple substitution cipher, right?
Right.
But here's the tricky part. So then I take my key, all right, and I convert all of those letters to numbers.
That's when it gets harder.
And then I add the two numbers together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I add the number from my first letter. So let's say that my first letter is H because I write, hey there, Chris. I take the number from
hey
H.
Hey there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
You know, hey there, Chris, there's a Ruskie on your tail. That's my message. So H is, because I'm going back to the Cold War.
Okay.
So H, we would convert H to a number, and then we'd look at the first letter in the key. Let's say that the first letter in the key is an M. Well, that M's going to have its own number value. We add the H and the M values together, and then we convert that into a new letter. So if it's anything up to if A is 0, if it's anything up to 25, then that's the letter that we would pick.
Mm-hmm.
If it's over 25, then we just use number 26 counts as 0 again.
Mm-hmm.
So the number 26 would be an A, 27 would be a B, 28 would be a C. So we go up there and we put in whatever the substituted letter will be. Well, the only way to know what the original letter is if you have that one-time pad in front of you,
mm-hmm.
where you take the value of the letter that is that the represented letter, the ciphered letter, you subtract the value of the key from the ciphered letter, and that gives you the value of the original letter. And then you can convert that into the original letter. So the process of coding and decoding is pretty painstaking,
mm-hmm.
because you have to convert all the letters to values, add, and then make new letters. But the nice thing is that because as long as you keep that string of letters that acts as your key truly random, and that you don't repeat letters, so that you don't repeat strings, like you don't go to the end of a page and then start at the top again. As long as you avoid that, it is impossible to crack that,
mm-hmm.
without getting possession of one of those pads.
Right.
So that's where we talk about if you follow this correctly, it is unbreakable. By correctly, we mean you have truly random string for your key. You do not repeat the key, and you do not let the key fall into the wrong hands. And as long as that happens, it is unbreakable.
Right.
So it's kind of like when we talked about the various ways of ciphering, you know, there always seems to be some way to crack the code. In this case, unless you have physical possession of the pad, or if someone uses a key that repeats, it's just not practical. So that's the basis for the secret messages. What those secret messages are, we can't say, because again, unless someone gets hold of one of those pads, then it's just meaningless numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could convert those to letters, but all that's going to do is give you the product of those two, like the original message and the key. And without having the key, you can't figure out what the original message is.
Mm-hmm.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, we'll boot it!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It's a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie loving friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun. But then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Now, it is likely, too, that the well, we talked about that in the Enigma machine.
Yes.
How the German codes during World War II were broken down into those five-letter combinations.
Yeah.
As an added layer of security, these combinations stand in for other words, too. So it is possible that even if you did break the code, you would also have to have the book that explains what these these letter combinations mean.
Yeah, but
so
you still would never.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you, if you for some reason if you managed
if you got
to,
hold of the pad or,
right.
Or if they used a repeating key, because if they use a repeating key, then it would take a lot of you'd have to analyze the heck out of the message, but you could potentially start detecting patterns.
Well, that's what broke the Enigma code.
Yeah, exactly, because they got
lazy.
A little lazy and they started using repeating keys as opposed to using a key that just doesn't repeat, which would have been impossible to crack.
So it's just an added layer of security that just makes it much more difficult. So they do these repetitions over and over again, and it's the thing is the tone and the style of the broadcasts is really, really creepy, especially when you add that spy layer in your head to it. You start going, this message is not intended for me, and somebody could be doing something. You know, I could be listening. Well, this is what I think. You know, I'm listening to it going, I could be listening to a message that tells somebody to kill somebody else.
Right. Yeah, this could be a message saying to – like, and then think about this. You hear those messages and then maybe a week later you hear about some massive political event that takes place in a country and you think,
sure.
Is there any connection to what I heard and what just happened? Yeah. Is what I heard – was that essentially a prediction for what actually unfolded?
Right.
And yeah, it's kind of – I mean it is definitely creepy. And there are a lot of really cool names for these various broadcasts, some of which are named after the music that they use.
Yeah. And again, in some cases, you could kind of – some of them, the stations sort of semi-identify themselves, and others I think are given – sort of like stars, you know, or viruses. They're given the names of their – the discoverers want to name them.
Yeah. So there's one of the famous ones is the Lincolnshire Poacher.
Yeah.
Which was featured not too long ago as of the recording of this podcast on another podcast called The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little feature where it's called Who's That Noisy? And they which is named after one of the hosts has a daughter who would say Who's That Noisy? As in what's making that noise.
Right.
So anyway, Who's That Noisy is the name of the segment where they'll play a sound file. And it's the listener's job to try and figure out what that sound file is. And they played the little musical prelude that would happen before the numbers broadcast on the number station Lincolnshire Poacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really creepy when you hear it over
yes,
and
it
over
is.
Again. And anyway, that particular broadcast has been linked to Cyprus. To the Royal Air Force base on Cyprus and is believed, though there's no proof because there's no one actually coming out and saying this is true, that it was operated by the British Secret Intelligence Service out of Cyprus. Now, that particular station is no longer active.
Mm-hmm.
I think it stopped broadcasting in either 2008 or 2009.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a few others that also were pretty famous. Cherry Ripe. There's the song Cherry Ripe, another British folk song, which was a station somewhere in Australia, or Australia, if you prefer. There's Swedish Rhapsody, which is possibly the creepiest thing I have ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Which is there's a glockenspiel that's playing, and the voice is clearly that of a female child reading out numbers in German.
Yes.
And you just hear this glockenspiel play and then this little girl reading out numbers in German. And it is – you can't help but feel a deep sense of foreboding. But then there's also other ones called like The Mad Violinist and The Bored Man, because apparently he's just 4, 2, 7, 8 That's kind of how I would be. Like day one, I'd be all creepy, and day two, I'd be, you know, less creepy, and day three, I'd just be like, 3, 6. What am I gonna have for dinner tonight? 4. I gotta pick up the dry cleaning. 2.
Read the message. You're not getting anything for dinner. Yeah, there are a number of places, where you can, if you don't happen to have a shortwave radio, where you can pick up on these. The Internet Archive, of course, which collects all sorts of strange and esoteric things. there are many, many recordings that you can listen to on there.
Yep.
And actually, the first place that I encountered these was in an article in Wired magazine, which I went back and revisited for this. And they were categorizing this Russian station, UVB-76, which had been broadcasting essentially the same thing for many, many years until one day it stopped and then started again and then stopped again. And then you could hear it sounded like somebody in the room with the microphone.
Too creepy.
You know, shuffling stuff and banging around. And then it started broadcasting something else, and they changed the call numbers of the station to something entirely different.
So it makes you wonder if the guy was just asking for toilet paper and it finally arrived. And he's like, now blue jeans.
Yes.
I need blue jeans.
Well, you can still listen to this at uvb-76.net, and you can go and visit that website, and they will tell you, the enthusiasts who keep track of these things will share information about the station and what it changed to. But very, very weird stuff.
What I think is funny is that a lot of the people who are following number stations, who really have a passion for listening to them and finding them on shortwave radio, they don't want to have the mystery solved because it would mean their hobby would be over.
Well, I mean, it even information about this. This is kind of something that is operated for so many years, if you will pardon the radio pun, under the radar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something that the general public knew anything about up until the last handful of years, which is kind of ironic considering it was going on through the Cold War and before that and now after most of it has stopped. Anyhow, it even made an appearance in an episode of Lost. I understand. I never was really much of a fan of the show, but I think it's cool that they put that into the show's storyline, that there was a number station involved with the plot line. And, of course, that was about codes and code breaking and creepiness and all sorts of stuff. So it fit right in. It's fascinating. But the people who watched Lost, you know, wanted the mystery to unravel over time. They didn't want it solved immediately. And I think for the people who follow these number stations, it's the same kind of thing. They don't – I mean, you kind of want to know. But then I don't know if you've ever read a book where you didn't want the story to end and you just stopped reading because you just enjoyed the fact that it was still going on and you didn't really want to know quite what was going on, although you knew it had an end and somebody was behind it. I don't want to know. So I've done that many times or slowed very, very slow way down, you know, because you don't want to find out because then, you know, your fun ends. So I don't know. Very interesting stuff. Jonathan's been researching something as we're talking and he's got this mysterious look on his face.
Yeah. No, creepy. Okay. That's all I'm saying is creepy. Right. I mean, these are definitely one of those things that I hope stick around just for the sake of perpetuating this kind of air of mystery. Because you think about it, you're like, okay, first of all, let me get this clear. Our world is amazing and the universe is astounding. But even so, there are days where you feel like you're living in a pretty mundane kind of existence.
Right.
And then you find out about number stations. And you're like, there's a whole level operating just under the surface that I've always suspected but never really proven. And now I know there's something to it. Then you're like, hey, our world is amazing again. By the way, our world is amazing whether there's number stations or not. It's just that occasionally we have to be reminded of it.
Puppies.
Boom de yada. All right. So shout out to the parent company. Guys, that kind of wraps up our discussion on number stations. I wish we could tell you more, but frankly, there's just nothing official. We can't, you know, we can speculate all we like, but we can't really say for sure. Now, I think it's fairly safe to say that if these are encoded messages, which I can't imagine them being anything else.
I think it's improbable that they're not.
Yeah, it's hard to... It's hard to come up with a set of circumstances where just a string of numbers isn't meaningful in any other way. That if they are encoded messages, that this is some form of espionage. I mean, at least some form of secret communication, and it's one way. I mean, these are broadcasts that are going out. It's not that we're receiving answers from another one. It's also, I mean, they're regular. They're broadcast usually at regular intervals, like on the hour or on every quarter hour or whatever. So, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say these are some form of espionage communication. But that's really all we could say. Other than go listen to some, because they are both fascinating and incredibly unsettling for just being a series of numbers. So that wraps up this discussion. You guys, if you have any topics you would like us to cover, let us know. Send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW. Or you can always send us an email. That address is TechStuff@discovery.com. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
4, 7, 2, 3, 5.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.